of God's law, holy law, you also mentioned something about the guilt within, and yet you do not know any. In our day, with any knowledge of the terror of God. It's an unheard of topic. Guilt. Almost doesn't exist. Everybody else does it. Can't be that bad. And society has made us this way. We see so much, we hear so much, that we are a little affected anymore. And we have such a limited work of the Spirit of God within. But we shall press on. Up on the bank there, I think four trees almost in full bloom from top to bottom. Probably less than 20 years old. One died, another is dying, really two more. And yet those living have such a beauty about them due to spring. You think that we'll ever see spring in the church? Or are we like those two? They've got some blooms, but they're dying. Only the Lord can mature us and bring springtime into our midst. Got to start as an individual first before it ever be in the church. Well, if you would, turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. And if you're there, would you join with me as we seek the Lord's face? Eternal God and Father, Father of Christ, Father of the believers, unto thee, in your Son's name, And I trust by the help of thy Spirit we seek thy face. We call upon thee to meet, intervene in our lives for a short space of time that we've set aside this Lord's Day. And if you will meet with us, those things wrought by the Spirit of God will have a lasting effect upon us. And a word spoken will not be lost. Though memory and the natural man may not recall, you will bring it back as is needed in our walk. And Father, what good is it if we meet and have not thee, nor thy Spirit? It's just a religious service. And what benefit is it to my soul if you meet not with me as an individual? It's just an hour out of my life, nothing accomplished, and yet facing this thy word again. Father, would you be merciful to us? And first of all, speaking. Secondly, in giving us hearing ears and a receiving heart. And would you exalt Christ I pray you'd have the preacher, the hearers. Leave us not to ourselves. We ask in Christ's name for his honor and for his glory. Amen. Exodus 24, verse 1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, the Lord speaking, calling Moses up, thou, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. You're going to hear of Aaron again in a negative light. You're going to hear of Nadab and Abihu again in a negative light. As to the 70 elders of Israel, I don't know how many of them, if any, were in those times of rebellion where God opened the earth and dropped off many alive into hell. I don't know. But you got Moses' brother, Moses, or Aaron's two sons, Moses' nephew, and 70 of the elders afar off. And Moses alone shall come near. Moses alone shall come near the Lord. But they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. A little later, I want us to deal with verses 12 through 18. But before we get there, Moses alone shall come near. Many think in our day that the gospel is a general call to all people. There might be a general call in the public proclamation of the Word of God. It might be a general call as the sound of words go into your ears. But the only ones that will ever respond to a come thou near is that man or woman that hears the specific call of God in his or her heart. No one else will ever move. Only if in the general call the Spirit of God makes it a specific. You reckon why Lazarus was the only name mentioned as to coming forth out of the grave, a specific call to a particular individual? That's the gospel way. When Boaz was requesting the kinsman nearer to Ruth than he was, as he passed by, he said, "Ho, such a one. You sit down." Wasn't talking to anybody else. Just Ruth's or Naomi's nearer kinsman. Only one he pointed out. Now, folk, if you want the call of the gospel to be an invitation, I will not argue with you on that point. But the call of the gospel is specifically addressed not to everybody, but to you who labor, to you who are heavy laden. If there is anyone thirsty, then the gospel is come unto me. If there are any burdened with the heavy laden, and you want this to be an invitation, then Christ says, come unto me. Isaiah 55, oh, everyone that thirst. That's the only one God's speaking to. Only the hungry, only the thirsty, come ye to the waters. Yea, come buy of me without money, without price. In a lot of ways, it would be easier for you to get to a personal setting with the Queen of England or the President of the United States. Now have at it, and in 6 months come back and tell me how many of you made it into their presence. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Be easier for you to go to the president and say, I'd like to talk with you. Proverbs 15, the sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 28, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, his prayer shall be an abomination. If there's that in my heart, called iniquity, God will not hear me. If I am wicked, my prayer. You think God hears everybody that talks? My prayer, if I am wicked, is an abomination to God. If I do not abide by the teachings of the Word of God, my prayer is an abomination. Many times in the New Testament in the life of Christ, Mark 3:13, he goeth up into a mountain and calleth whom he would, his choice, not yours. Whom he would. And the thing about it, they came. Everybody that he calls will get to him. You just got to figure out if he's ever called you. Folk, you possess more rights than you give God. Your home is open only to those you invite into it. Now your friends, they can come and go. Anybody else comes, it's due to you inviting them. And we're not going to have a God like that. Anybody wants to? to him. Moses, come up unto the Lord. You, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, 70 elders. Now verse 12, Exodus 24. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mountain, into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. In the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud. Solomon said, 1 Kings 8, God had said he will dwell in thick darkness. So if you get to the light, you're going to get to the light going through the midst of thick darkness. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days. And 40 nights. Moses come up. And Moses abode in the mount 6 days. And then on the seventh day, God said, come up to me. For one to get to the Lord, in some small way, you got to know the one that you are approaching unto. He that cometh to God must believe that he, who you're going to. Well, I'm going to God. Well, what do you know about this God that you're going to? Well, I know the law says he's holy. I know on different occasions he is compared to a devouring fire. I know that he dwells in thick darkness. You gotta, in some small way, nothing great, no profound knowledge of him, but you gotta know something about the one you're going to. And then you're going unto him, there's going to be a sense that overwhelms you of, I am a sinner. How are you going to get to God? Call upon him in whom ye have not believed. You can't do it. How are you going to believe in God if you've not heard about him? Well, we pull Romans 10:13 out and we've thrown it out to everybody, and everybody's a Christian nowadays. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Paul said, you wait a minute. How are you going to call on him in whom you've not believed? And how are you going to believe in him of whom you've not heard? And how are you going to hear except God send a preacher. Well, I'm, for all practical purposes, as smart as or smarter than the preacher. That's beside the point. I mean, God chose the foolish, the ignorant, the unlearned, and sent them into the ministry to confound the wise. If you hear, you're going to hear through a preacher. If you ever saved, it's because you called upon God with some knowledge of the God you called on. For one to get to the Lord, you've got to ascend from this walk of life. You've got to get into a mountain. Now, I'm not talking about us finding some high place. If that was so, I'd move to Alaska that contains the highest mountains in the U.S. or to Colorado. I'd get away from these little hills if this literally meant getting to the hill of God. Now, I'm talking about that. Not in the physical. But you got to get up, which means that you ascend from this walk of life. You might be on your knees ascending. You might be sitting in your chair rising to the mount. You might be walking some path out there in the woods. But in mind and spirit, you've got to ascend where you are. From where you are. And I've just told you, you've got to do one of the most difficult tasks, almost impossible tasks in the society in which you live. You've got to find, to get to God, you've got to find a few minutes of solitude. Oftentimes, if you find a few minutes of solitude, your mind, it's so cluttered with things you got to do, that you got to get done, places you got to go, that which family members, that which society is demanding of you. I mean, it's almost impossible to find a place of solitude. It's almost impossible, if you find a place of solitude, to find in mind a little quietness there where you can just deal with the Lord. You gotta get above life. And you got to get above who you are in Adam. We are sinners. We will commit sin every day of our lives. We will always be a sinner. John 3, that which is born of flesh is always being flesh. God did not set out to sanctify your old nature. So you'll always be a sinner. But there can't be, even in the reality that we are sinners and sin we will always be doing, there can't be a known particular sin because there will never be communion with God till that issue settled. Never. And the reason most are going to go to hell is because they got something within that they do not intend on dealing with. They're not going to give it up. In the Mount Moses come up, if you worship, you've got to ascend. In the mount, in the hill of the Lord, one is lifted above this walk, above the activities of life, above who you are in Adam, above sin and your wretchedness for just a short time. And there, with God, there is nothing, nothing between my soul and the Savior. See, if you hug in the sin, you will never get to Christ. And for a short period of time, you view your completeness in Him. And His work and your interest in Christ's atoning work. Matthew 5:1, and Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain when he was set. That's in Exodus 24. And previously, God is said to come down on the mount. In Matthew 5, and Jesus, seeing the multitude, went up into a mount. God is ascending up in Matthew 5. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. John 6. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So your being built up in the most holy faith is dependent upon your rising from life itself into the hill of God. Jesus went up into a mount. His disciples followed him. And when he was shed, he thought, you've got to get above. Life to hear him. See, some of you have not learned this yet here. You stay on earth all the time you're sitting here. You may stay on earth all the time you're praying to him. I don't know. And in the mount, when he was set, and his disciples came unto him, he taught them. And then 40 days after the resurrection, he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them in returning back to his Father. In Acts 1, and they returned from the mount called Olivet. I think it was just a few days prior that the Son of God was at the bottom of Mount Olivet. And at the bottom of that mountain of olive orchards, there was the oil press. And there, God put His beloved Son into that press, pressing all the life out of Him. And any rising to a mount now to be with Christ for a few minutes will be because he was at the foot of the mount in the oil press. And the only reason he was able to carry the disciples back to that mount to bless them as he departed was due to the valley below of the press. Now let's get to verses 12 and following. Moses has been walking with the Lord, serving the Lord for some time now. He was made aware of the glory of God at the burning bush. And there on his face, in that awful presence of God, he dare not lift up his eyes. Moses has seen awful judgments of God on Egypt to the last, the killing of the firstborn. In all Egypt, man and beast. And Moses has seen Pharaoh kick them out. And then having a change of heart and Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea on dry ground. And Moses saw, and the children of Israel saw Pharaoh and all the army drowned. In that sea. Some of those that like to criticize the accuracy of Scripture say that there were places in the Red Sea where if you knew them you could walk across almost on dry ground. And one of these was boasting to an old preacher about how that they could have walked across without a great miracle. And he said to the man, then a greater miracle than that was performed when Pharaoh started across and God drowned them all in that shallow water. You see, the man that has witnessed all these is just like you and me. Being a creature of flesh, he's prone to familiarity. And being prone to familiarity, that has a way of dimming a view of the glory, the majesty, the dignity of the being of God. And God said, you wait over there on that mount. In those 6 days that you're waiting over there, you're peering into or at the glory of God as a devouring fire. You sit there and look at that for 6 days. You sit there and you look at that until you get some apprehension or renewed awareness of the being that is before you. Don't you dare carelessly or presumptuously try to walk back into my presence. You know about the one you're approaching. My soul, dear folk, there's no such thing as that today. Knowing something of the glory of God in us approaching. So that Moses might not get to presuming that he had witnessed of God, been a part of the miracles of God, or as making his work important, he had a right now to go to God anytime he wanted. God made him sit down 6 days looking at his glory. Have you had 6 minutes you put all your time together peering at God, has it been an hour of just bowed at the feet of such a majestic being? How long have you been there? We all are so prone to presumption, familiarity. There are going to be times in your life, if you are a child of God, that He's going to halt you from getting to Him. He's going to make you sit down and He's going to make you wait until you get a renewed sense within of God. And I almost despise this word today because of its abundant use, the awesomeness of God. But He's going to make you sit down and wait and look and think until in the depths of your soul there is a renewed sense of the majesty of the God of glory. Of such infinite worth, value, glory, majesty, dwelling in a light that no man can approach unto, and yet you've got to get there or go to hell. But before you get there, God will sit you down. Or He might put you down on a hospital bed. I don't know. But I just know if you make it into heaven, you're going to sit down for a little and peer into the awesomeness of the being of God. Until there's something of the dignity of God wrought in your soul. The magnitude of His majesty must be known. And yet, you see a glimpse of it today, and tomorrow it's faded out of your sight. As a fog, as the fog disappearing with the rising of the sun. We'll get to taking God for... If you've been walking with the Lord for any length of time, you've gone through periods of time where you've took God for granted. You've took Christ and His work on the cross for granted. Folk, I don't care how God's presented today. That doesn't lessen His being in my soul and frame of mind. I don't care how readily this God is presented as to accept any and all. And I don't care how easily it is declared today for anybody to get to God. It's difficult. You invite who you will into your home and you give God less credit than that. It's no common thing to speak with God. Now, I told you you're going to hear about Nadab and Abihu again. They're up there. God told Moses to separate Aaron and his sons and let them come nigh unto me to minister unto me. They were in an office of great honor. And it became commonplace to them. And something happened to the fire. It was to always be burning. So they just took out their match and lit their own fire. And God killed them on the spot. And Moses came to Aaron and he said, Aaron, I told you and I've told this people, God said he would be sanctified in all that come nigh him. And your boys didn't make him holy. And your boys didn't put him in this place of glory. And they went to him. They didn't sanctify me. And they're dead folks. There's a lot of dead people on the face of God's earth walking around that have misused and abused and taken God's glory and majesty as a common thing. Going to God today is no more than taking a drink of water. And God said, I'll be sanctified. And getting to God is as commonplace as this. Lord, would you teach us to pray? Okay. You begin, our Father, I need this and that and these things for the children, for the wife and for the husband, for the friend. Mm-mm. Lord, I'm not feeling good. No. Our Father who art in heaven. High and lifted up. You're not going to talk to him until you get some perspective of where he is and where you are. You on earth. God's in heaven. God does whatever he pleases. You can do nothing but that he permits. Gives you the power to do. You're going to begin your prayer speaking to your Father. Hallowed be thy name. Not woe is me. I cut my little finger and it hurt all night long. Hit it with this hammer and the nail's black and it kept. No, my Father in heaven. And I recognize him up there. I immediately know I am here. Now, folks, suppose you're working in the garden, if it ever dries up enough down here, and you're dirty, dirt under your fingernails, dirt on your clothes, dirt on your face, dirt in your hair, and you've got a doctor's appointment in the middle of the afternoon. You're going to come in, and you're going to clean up, and you're going to dress appropriately, before you make your way out there. You just got a good friend that you think highly of. Why, you'll clean up to the hilt to make an impression on him or her. If you hadn't seen him in a while. And we think we can get to God. Dirty hands, Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Now, you're in the garden and you're working and you're filthy. And the older child yells out, the little one's been bitten with a rattlesnake. You don't worry about cleaning up. You just put him in the car and you get to the doctor. And sometimes there will be such an emergency within you that you got to get to God almost immediately for help. But if you've got time, you better reflect upon the one you're about to speak to. Folk, you live in a society and think what you may, it has affected us up to the hilt. Absolutely no fear of God today. You go through that 6 days a week, probably 7 days, and getting to the assembly, it's just a matter of stopping what I'm doing, getting dressed, and getting there. With a little thought of preparation within. Who's going to sin? You may be sitting when the final amen is said, the same place you were when the scriptures were, or the devotional was read, down here on earth, far off from God. You say, well, God's everywhere. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you getting into the presence of God. Most approach God on such a familiarity, it does not matter that their hands are dirty, their soul is filled with vanity. And no purity of heart. We've been presented a God so long that the God of Scripture is nowhere to be found. Psalm 89, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. How long, if ever, has it been since there was this fear, somewhat of a dread, in sitting down in the house of God? God, Psalm 89, 7 or 9 somewhere, will be had in reverence in all those about him. If angels that have never sinned cover their faces when they fly in the presence of God, why you keep running to God with such a familiarity? Hebrews 12, seeing we've received a kingdom which cannot be removed, let us have grace. Grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably. There's a good possibility you think little about your service to God. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And Moses, you've been walking with me for a good while. Now you sit down over there 6 days. Peering at into the glory of God. and God as a consuming fire. You get your heart ready. And looking at God for that length of time, on the seventh day, God said, "All right, everything's okay. You come up to me." Folk, if you don't start taking time before you open your mouth in utterance to God, or what you call to God, if you don't start taking time, your familiarity with God is going to get you in trouble. And if you don't take time, you're going to start dragging all your carnal desires and fleshly concerns into the presence of a holy God. We think God's just up there for us. Whatever I want, whatever I will do, in the end, I'm going to heaven. God's up there for you to find out a little about Him before you run into His immediate presence at death. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust. Sometimes it's right to tell the Lord, "I have a sick child." Sometimes it's right to tell the Lord of your pain, inward agony, distress of soul. But not all the time. Every once in a while, God would have you come, not personally needing anything, just have you sit down in sweet fellowship and communion. But before you ever get there, God's going to sit you down and say, "You wait right there till you get this thing straightened out." And on the seventh day, God called to Moses, "Come up."